talk about the politics of the moment. Joining us, Jack Fitzpatrick, Bloomberg government reporter. And Jack, I brought this up with Amory Horton today, and I do think it needs to be reduxed. There is this divide of Main Street and Wall Street, of the rest of the country and a fancy East Coast, of agricultural America and urban America as a stereotype of, let's say, before the 1920s, even before World War I. Was that on display yesterday with the senator from Massachusetts and the chairman of the Fed?
Yeah, I think yesterday's hearing was the best example you're going to get of that, of the progressive concerns on jobs and how many job losses are necessary in the Fed's view. Elizabeth Warren has taken the lead on that. You know, looking ahead to today's, considering he's speaking to the House Financial Services Committee, there's not exactly an Elizabeth Warren equivalent who might bring that up. It's not that there aren't progressives, but I do think there's a real spotlight specifically or particularly on Elizabeth Warren in pushing for that. It's a Senate question, the degree to which they're going to try to pressure the Biden administration into picking sort of a counter to Powell for future openings. But I think what you saw yesterday was a significant reflection of those concerns, and probably the primary reflection in Congress of those concerns. It could come up today in the House, but it does seem to be something that Senator Warren in particular is sort of leading the charge on.
Hey, Jack, in Washington, President Biden, Congress, they got some work to do here as it relates to, I don't know, debt ceilings, budgets, all that kind of stuff. Can you tell us how this might play out? I'm just reading the Bloomberg News reporting. There's a $31.4 trillion debt limit that must be raised to avoid a U.S. default. And that plus the budget, how does this play out, this dance?
Yeah, so I think you need to look for two things, and one of them is coming tomorrow, the president's budget, which is a political document. They don't really send it and vote on it, but it's an outline of his fiscal priorities. He is expected to outline a plan that would reduce the deficit by about $2 trillion over 10 years. That is not as aggressive as the House Republicans want. And after this, you're going to have to look for the House Republican budget, especially because House Republicans still need to kind of lay out exactly what their negotiating position is ahead of that debt limit deadline that's supposed to be between July and September. The chairman of the Budget Committee, Jody Arrington, told me last week he thinks he can get that document out in the next month. So there's going to be a bit of a back and forth on really, it's come down to a debate over agency budgets. How much do you spend on defense versus domestic government stuff? And does that play its way into the debt limit? We've got about a month of a back and forth there.
Jack, there's a chart the IMF had out the other day, which was thunderstruck over debt dynamics of other nations, and very alone with a huge debt explosion is the United States. Is there a Paul Tsongas or a Sam Nunn or a Pete Peterson in Washington in 2023?
You know, there are people and there are interest groups and there are lawmakers who are very interested in taking a much more fiscally conservative approach. They may not be the prevailing voice right now to the degree that they have in past fights over the debt limit and passed major legislation on that. The fact that, you know, a major entitlement solvency negotiation has been ruled out for the debt limit is a significant thing. There are a lot of lawmakers. I mentioned the budget chairman, Jody Arrington, who's raised, you know, we should get together in a 1983 style, really get into the big picture questions on the debt and deficit. That is not the prevailing view right now.
Why? I have to ask why. This is great. You're so good at this, Jack. I didn't know. I can remember where it was. It was 40 years ago.
The politics of it is the answer why. And I think you've seen from President Biden, he sees an opportunity to weaken the Republican position before they have to get into those talks. Biden is going to he has something in his budget that would raise taxes on those earning more than $400,000 for Medicare. So he's kind of gradually coming out with his revenue increase proposal for the solvency of Medicare. And he has hammered away at the Republicans on the unpopularity of some of their ideas when they've called for an increase of the eligibility age and that kind of thing. They've got until 2028 to do something about Medicare and longer for Social Security. So between now and then, I think there's an attempt by Biden to weaken the position on the proposals you've heard from Republicans so they're more likely to come toward the ideas that he's going to outline in more detail tomorrow in his budget.
Paul, I looked yesterday, and I'm a huge fan of the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO. They do the best. They try to be bipartisan as best they can. And Paul, okay, rates are higher. We don't know what rates are going to do. Maybe they're going to go back down, go up, whatever. The interest expense of our debt is it's good you take scientific notation in engineering school to get an understanding of the expansion of that cost over the next 10 years. It's Japan-like.
It is, exactly. So, I mean, I wonder, just individuals trying to budget out a year or two, it's tough because we don't know whether we're going into a recession. I don't know if inflation's going to stay elevated. You know, what are the assumptions that you think this administration's going to factor into its budget?
On questions of interest expenses, that's an interesting question. Recently, presidents have stuck pretty close to CBO assumptions. That's something we'll be looking for to see if there's a major departure to try to put some rose-colored glasses on the budgetary outlook. But really, speaking to Republicans and Democrats, there is sort of a working assumption that the CBO numbers and the warnings attached to that about the trajectory of the deficit and what that does for making interest payments on federal interest, that's a big issue. It's really that there is a significant disagreement on how to go about it. And the fact that they have ruled out some sort of big picture negotiation on the biggest mandatory stuff, the entitlements, it's the same amount of gridlock as you would probably expect. but usually they don't have a huge departure in the president's budget on the economic assumptions underlying that trajectory.
Jack Fitzpatrick, thank you so much with Bloomberg Government.